Hear my comrades cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. And let's wave the answer back to heaven a little bit this morning by grabbing your Bible. Hallelujah. I like that song. We sang that at Chile, I guess we do every year. And it's just something to see 1,000 people, probably, half of them teenagers, 500 teenagers, waving an answer back to heaven, and see all them Bibles waving. And when they get to that verse that says, shout the answer, they all stop and shout for a couple minutes again and praise the Lord. So we like that song, and we like the answered. We like to hold the fort. In fact, we're going to look a little bit, even today, about what it takes to hold the fort. If you have a Bible, open it up to the book of Revelation and chapter 2. Revelation and chapter 2, whenever I turn to the book of Revelation and start looking at the seven messages to the seven churches, I get chomping at the bit for October to be here and that we could head into the hunt for the last October. We'll not go there today, but praise the Lord is soon returning. If you watch anything of the news this week, you should be a little bit excited about what God's doing for Israel and the fact that the United States is standing with Israel against the ideas and notions of all the sodomite-loving progressive liberals again, that we again are standing with Israel again in the Golan Heights and that takeover that they had. We looked a little bit at that last Wednesday night again, some of the history of that. But boy, praise the Lord for His goodness to us, and praise the Lord that we can live in a day and age when we can see the day approaching. We can see, again, that the things that are in the Bible are going to be fulfilled as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So shall it be in the United States of America. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as it was in the days of Noah, so is it going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. And so, praise the Lord is soon returning. What are you going to do in the meantime? And we want to look at that theme here with this. The title of the message today is, Thou Hast Left Thy First Love. I'm going to preach that at Good Samaritan Baptist Church because I want to make sure that we have not left our first love. And we remember what that is. There's a lot of things that we could get involved in today. Unfortunate thing is that Facebook has become the new communication tool. But listen, that's not our communication tool. The communication tool God gave us is the foolishness of preaching. So we want to each of us be preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's go ahead and look here at Revelation chapter 2, this introductory message to the churches. God told John to write the things which thou hast seen. And he did, praise the Lord. He wrote the whole, after Jesus gave him that command on the Isle of Patmos, he wrote the whole Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he said, the things that we have seen, the things that our eyes have beheld, the things that our hands have handled, that's what I'm going to testify. And so that's the things that he'd seen. Then Jesus said, write the things that are. And listen, this is it. This is the things that are, the church age that we live in. Some call it the age of grace, but listen, understand there's a dispensation that we're in, but grace is all the way back to Noah. Remember, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so we're in a church age, and that church age is going to come to an end. And so that's the things that are. And then Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, told the Apostle John to write the things that shall shortly come to pass, which is the bulk of the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so again, as we look here at this portion, this is the things that are. This is the very first message to the very first church. Again, and as we look at those churches, it's kind of obvious that those churches reflect 2,000 years of church history. And so we understand that we are in the Laodicean church age. But listen, I don't want that Good Samaritan Baptist Church to be a Laodicean church. And so again, as we look at these messages, I just want to again just draw some things out of the first seven verses of these messages to the church. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, the book of Revelation in chapter 2. And let's look at the warning and the instruction that's given to the very first church here in the list of seven. Revelation chapter 2, you follow along in your Bible as I would read the holy words of God. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Notice again that is the church of Ephesus. Where's the next one here? Look at the next one. In verse 8 says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. See that? All the churches, again, are either churches in their little town, or this is not. This one is a church of Ephesus. Good Samaritan Baptist Church, the way I illustrated that in my book, was Good Samaritan Baptist Church is a church in Dresden. But it's not the church of Dresden. That's kind of obvious. And so notice here again that this is addressed to the church of Ephesus. That's a big deal. There's a difference. Things that are different on purpose. And so, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I hope you know already what those seven candlesticks are. Verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, look at verse 4, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5 says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. We take this challenge and this charge given to the church of Ephesus. Father, we take it to our own church, to our own heart, our own walk with you, and ask, Father, again that you'd help us in understanding these things and guard us against the failure of these things. And we'll praise you and thank you for your blessing on your word today. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. You may be seated as we pick up this message. Again, I've gone through a lot of things this week again. And as I've said, come springtime, we're going to start pounding on doors again here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Come April, I thought, you know, before April Fool's Day gets here, I ought to try a little of this on myself and make sure we can get it done. And so I've gone out all this week again trying to put together a visitation program that, very frankly, we used to have all the time at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. We used to be faithful at our visitation program at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And while I was pondering some of that, I picked up this message again and rehearsed it and said, you know, there's a danger that we could leave some of the things that was our first love. So I just want to again go ahead and emphasize and look again at the importance of this little message here to the church at Ephesus. And as we do that, again, examine what it takes to lose your first love. What does it mean to lose your first love? In counseling, I was always taught that the best way to begin with marriage counseling is to go back and ask the man, why in the world did you marry this woman? That's a good place to start. And it's good for us to go back and visit our first relationships and marriage again. And as I do that, it goes me back to being a teenager. I don't know what brought me back there. Oh, 50 years of Woodstock brought me back there. And I thought, wow. As we consider, again, Falling in Love, 1969, I had met this blonde again. And so I don't know if I was intent on marriage at that time. It took me a year to warm up to that. Again, I was just a little kid. But visiting our first love. And again, I'd like to ask that we do that today. Also, when you first got saved. Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember when you first asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? Now listen, if you followed it the Bible way, then the day before that, pay attention, don't miss this. The day before that, you were on your way to hell.
Yes.
And you deserved it.
Yes.
And the day after that, you were on your way to heaven and you didn't deserve that.
Amen.
And so again, the United Methodist Church has a document where they put their beliefs when they broke from the Episcopal Church and the Methodist Episcopal, and they united into what's called the United Methodist Church. They said, we need to put together a doctrinal statement. Here's what they put in their doctrinal statement. They said, a person to get saved needs to confess their sins and call on the Lord, repent of their sins, call on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask Him to save them. And there's no other way to get to heaven than what you do that, praise the Lord. And then they said this, and once you do that, God will make you, if you keep going to church, God will make you good enough to deserve to go to heaven.
I never deserve that.
Listen, that's not the so great salvation that's in my Bible.
Amen.
And so again, understand this, that yeah, we might be strange here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. We might be a peculiar people. A lot of people say a lot of things about us. But listen, there is a gospel to be preached. And there's no other church. I was talking with brother, another preacher in Yates County. There's precious few churches that's preaching the gospel in Yates County. Everyone else is so worried about being inclusive that they forgot that God is exclusive. And again, this church again was always one that just took a stand on preaching the gospel. And listen, under my watch, I don't want that should change.
Amen.
We need to be a church that keeps the main thing, the main thing, and the main thing is preaching the gospel. You don't deserve to go to hell.
That's right.
No. You don't deserve to go to heaven. You do deserve to go to hell. Until one realizes that and calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you can pray a lot of things. You can ask a lot of things. But again, until you realize that you deserve hell. You can't be saved till you're lost enough to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. But boy, when you do call on Him and He gives you a new life. I went to a men's retreat, boy, years ago now, and took one of my nephews with me, and he got saved up there. And we came home. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning coming back from Penfield and from that men's retreat. And all the way back, he just kept saying, I mean, it'd be quiet for a little while. And all of a sudden he said, Man, I can't believe what happened to me, because he got saved. And then it'd be quiet for a little while again, and we're driving back, and then he'd say, Man, I can't believe that my sins are gone, he'd say. And listen, I just flat got excited being with him because of a new name written down in glory. And so again, I want to emphasize that we dare not forget our first love here. Remember what it was like, again, when you got saved. It's been hard for me, again, in the past 10 years. I've not seen anyone saved so much that they want to go to church. I've not seen anyone in the past 10 years here in Yates County, I've not seen anyone get saved enough so that they got that excited about having their sins gone away. I've not seen anyone so saved again that they were suddenly concerned about their brother, their mother, their uncle, or their aunt that was going to hell and wanted to tell somebody else. But boy, I dare not let that day be forgotten in my life, in your life, that there was a day when we got born again and we found our first love at that day. Here's a section of Scripture that says, hey, don't forget that first love. So I want to just cover some things that we find in our first love. Notice here again that there are, I think I got four things listed out here in my outline that I want to cover that should be in our first love. And the first one, again, is, of course, this Word of God. The Word of God. Remember our first love. Remember again this old book. Remember the love that we had for God's Word. If you don't remember it, let me just go ahead and give you some reminders. Turn back to John chapter 14. I think we can let go of Revelation chapter 2, although there's a bunch of things I wanted to preach out of there. And we will come back in the end, so you might want to set a bookmark there. But John chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and chapter 14, given some instructions out of a precious chapter. All of John, the Gospel of John, is precious, as I just said. But look at John chapter 14, and look with me at verse 15. It says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. We heard that. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Jump down to verse 23 there. A bunch of stuff happening in here, this section. But the emphasis here is Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Keep my commandments, keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Look at the next verse, 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. So right there we have the commandments, we got his words, and we got his sayings. And listen, we ought to love the Word of God, this old book, all 66 books. We ought to love it. It ought again be our bread and butter. It ought again be the Word of God is what we use to grow thereby, it says. And so when we first got saved, boy, I had a love for the Word of God. I was just a little six-year-old kid when I got saved. But again, I'd already seen the changes it made in my mom's life and my dad's life. And I had a love for the Word of God. If I didn't have a love of the Word of God, you could say I had a drug problem because I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church on Sunday worship. And I was drugged to church on Sunday night. And I was drugged to church on Wednesday night. Listen, I was drugged to church on Thursday visitation. I was drugged to church on Saturday visitation. Listen, when I got saved, I've seen so many things change in our home. And I was excited to get a taste again of some of the things that caused my mom and dad's life to be turned upside down and to have us in church 5 days a week. And so notice here again that as we look here at the Word of God, turn with me to another one, and we're going to have to turn back to this one. Mark this in your Bible if you would. Psalms 119. Praise the Lord. We'll not read the whole thing today. But Psalms 119, and look with me, if you would, at verse 97. First off, Psalms 119 is written as an octet. It's got, again, eight verses, and each of those eight verses has something about the Word of God in it. There's only like three verses that don't specifically call out the Word of God. And so we want to look at verse 97, but before we do that, look with me at verse 1. It says, and notice again, it has the Hebrew letter Aleph. It should, if you got a good Oxford Bible or Cambridge, they'll put the actual Hebrew letter at the top of each of these octets, eight verses. And again, you could learn the Hebrew alphabet from that. I did that before I was a teenager, again, looking at all of these letters of the Hebrew alphabet, so you could begin to learn Hebrew right out of your English Bible, hallelujah, and it'd be worthwhile. Every verse, 1 through 8 here, begins with the Hebrew letter Aleph, and if you pick up a Hebrew Bible and look at it, you see that every verse begins with the letter Aleph. The next eight verses, every verse begins with the letter Bet. Alph, Bet, Gamil, Delet, Hev, Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yad, Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samek, Yin. If you go right through the whole Hebrew alphabet, you can cover all 147 verses of Psalms 119 and figure out again that, hey, each one of those verses starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But more importantly, I want to look again at this verse, chapter 119, 1 through 8. And I want you to just run down through there and pick out eight different names for the Word of God that we fell in love with when we got saved. Psalms 119, verse 1, the law. Verse 2, His testimonies. Verse 3, His ways. Verse 4, Thy precepts. Verse 5, Thy statutes. Verse 6, Thy commandments. Verse 7, Righteous judgments. Verse 8, Okay, I'll give you one. On verse 8, they repeated thy statutes. But in verse 9, it picks up a whole new one, thy word. And so those eight references there to the Word of God are covered in this octet set of verses. Isn't that a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. This whole chapter is about the importance of God's Word. To look at verse 97 of Psalms 119. Under the Hebrew letter Mem, and it says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Look at verse 113. Shemek, the Hebrew letter Shemek. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Look at verse 119. I like that. 119, 119. You won't find that anyplace else in your Bible. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. Look at verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Psalms 165. Great peace. Going to memorize one. Memorize this one. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There's people that are not in Good Samaritan Baptist Church today because your pastor offended them. And I do sincerely apologize for that if it was me that offended them. Sometimes I can be a bumbling fool with words again, and I want to be careful of that. But again, understand this, that many of them are not here because this book offended them. And they did not have a great love. Psalms 165, 119, 165, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And so the first love that we have ought to be a love of God's Word. And I've only given you a few. We don't have time to read this whole chapter. But again, to understand that we're to love God's law. We're to meditate in it day and night. And so again, I want to instill here that we remember our first love, that we have a love of the Word of God. I'd almost go on a rant here on the King James Bible. But let me at least say this, that again, if you can't tell the difference between thee and thou, and you and y'all, then we need some remedial English. Me cannot understand that. It just makes no sense to I. Me cannot understand it. It just makes no sense to I. What's wrong with that sentence?
You got
the I's and me's mixed up. Listen, if it's used in the subject or the nominative case, you always use I. If it's used in the accusative or possessive case, you always use me. Now listen, I'm sorry that I had to go through all of high school and 2 years of college before I took my first Greek lesson to understand why it is you can't say me don't like that. And it makes no sense to I. But listen, there is reasons for that. And again, understand this. Boy, when he was down at that preacher's conference, they spoke on the King James Bible. And he just dwelt on this fact that people back in the 1600s did not talk with these and thous and thines. They just didn't talk that. It was not part of the English language. You go back and look at the English language before the 1600s, and they had none of that in their Anglican English that they had. And so again, the translators formed the English language so that it would capture the exactness of God's holy writ. And now we throw it all out and say, well, we got to have a language that people understand. No, we got to have a language that captures God's words. Amen. And is accurate and is detailed. And the next time someone tells me I can't understand the King James Bibles, just stand back. I'm probably going to jump down their throat with both feet again. Listen, we can understand the King James Bible. It's just that people don't want to understand. And so again, as we look here at the love of the Word of God, I'm just going to hail again that we love the King James Bible. We love the Old English. There's been nothing like it. There's nothing like it in Greek. There's nothing like it in Hebrew. Listen, the King James Bible that we hold in our hand in the English language, in the English tongue, is the preserved Word of God. It is the accurate Word of God. And we need to have a love of the Word of God. And I don't know if you have to have a despise of the NIV, not inspired version. I do, okay, because I see what it's done. But again, and I know you can't just go around thumping people over the head with a King James Bible and teach them anything. But again, understand this, that we ought to have a love for the Word of God. And you know, it's good to have a love for the Word of God, but it's even better when you read it. Every day, okay? That's kind of an exemplification of the love. We've lost our first love, and we've lost a love for the Word of God. Man, I'm out of time. We've lost our love for the brethren. Turn with me back to 1 John. Again, I'm trying to connect some of these to the writings of John especially. And just before Revelation, we have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 1 John chapter 3, 14 says this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Again, down at the missions conference, we had a preacher that was affected deeply because he was in a church split and he saw Christians hate each other. Before Beverly and I had been married for 6 years. Listen, before we'd been married for 5 years, we were through 5 church splits. We'd seen some things in the GARBC and the regular Baptist churches and the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. We've seen Christians hate each other for a long time. We've seen churches split over the color of a wall. We've seen churches split over what kind of carpeting to put in. And again, boy, Christians fight. And I got to say that they were Christians with air quotes. Because, listen, a test of whether a Christian is a Christian or not is whether they have a love for the brother. We read again, and we're in Nehemiah, and our Sunday school lessons, and we read again of Nehemiah breaking down and crying. Well, we don't see much crying in the church house anymore. We don't see weeping over souls. But again, that's part of a love for the brother. I appreciate Good Samaritan Baptist Church more than you know. Brother Lee Pickett's mentioned this several times to us, and I bring it up again, that there is an atmosphere at Good Samaritan Baptist Church that's coveted by a lot of people, by a lot of churches. And it's just sweet to be your pastor. It's sweet to be here and see the love that Good Samaritan Baptist Church has for one another. So I'll not spend a lot of time on this, but again, understand that it's a commandment that we love the brother. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. This is my commandment, it says in John 15, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We're commanded to love one another. I could go on. I've got 8 more verses here again that talks again about the love that we're to have for others. I've been out door knocking and soul winning with people who are looking to put another notch in their Bible, who are looking again to get their house count up again, people, and they didn't have any love. They didn't have any compassion. They didn't look at people, didn't understand that that soul's gone to hell. And I have an ability to make a difference right now with the gospel. Amen. So again, we not only have to have a love for the brethren, but boy, we need a love for brethren of mankind. We need to understand that we need to love people around us. All of us here could probably pick out somebody that we really hate. And there are some genuine jerks in this world. I'll grant you that. But listen, a mark of a believer is that you have love. The love of Christ. Remember when he looked at them as sheep without a shepherd, and his heart was broken and he was filled with compassion. Boy, we need to have compassion. And so again, notice here that the love again for brethren is more than just us loving one another. It's loving the brethren of mankind. And I can extend that again in these verses that I have before me, that we need a love for all men. I don't care how many tattoos they have. I don't care how big their earlobes are stretched out to. We need to love lost people and have a heart for them and a compassion for them. Down on Union Street in Dundee, there's a fella, after I knocked on the door, came around the back and yelled over the porch. And again, you got to be fair to these people. I mean, every door that I knocked on in Penn Yan, every door we knocked on in Dundee had Seventh-day Adventist material tucked in. And so they've already hit all the houses in Dundee again. And people just think that there's someone on their porch. It's just another one of the JWs, and they want to throw you off. And so I was a little bit compassionate with them as I tucked all their old material and threw it on the ground and tuck in a gospel track in each door. Hallelujah. I don't recommend that you do that. It's just what your pastor does. But he stepped around the porch and said, "Unless you're Jesus Christ himself, get off of my porch." Wow. There's a greeting. Y'all know what polarized means? We're living a polarized politics again. In other words, there's right and wrong. There's nothing in between. Listen, the same thing was true down in Dundee. When I knocked on someone's door in Dundee, they either loved me or they hated me. There was no one that was nonchalant in the middle of that again. And so we as a society are polarized. You know what people need today? People need the Lord.
Amen.
People need the Lord. What are you going to say to someone said, "Unless you're Jesus Christ himself, get off of my porch"? Praise the Lord, I didn't even have to think about it. I said, "Listen, I am a Baptist preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the closest you're ever going to come to here in this lifetime of seeing God stand on your porch." I thought it was a good answer. He wasn't that impressed with it, however. And so we moved on. But again, understand that, hey, we are representatives. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, they're not going to see the Lord Jesus Christ himself on their porch. It's only going to be you. It's only going to be me. If ever they're going to see the Shekinah glory of God descend on the temple, what? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? We are not our own, but we're bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, if ever the Shekinah glory of God is going to descend on Dresden, Penn Yan, Dundee, Watkins Glen, it's going to be in the form of a preacher of the gospel. And he's called us to be that. And so again, don't lose the love for the brother. And don't forget that Good Samaritan Baptist Church, boy, when I came here, this was a door-pounding church. And I don't want to lose that. Don't lose our first love. Don't lose the compassion we have for a lost and dying world around us. Let's turn quickly back to Ephesians. And I'll mention two more things that we need to have a love for. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." In Acts 20, it says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, pastors, bishops, elders, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Listen, praise the Lord, Good Samaritan Baptist Church is not this two-story brick building with the foundation crumbling in the cellarway. This is Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And God loves His church. And I'll not preach here too long. I needn't preach here too long. But we need to have a love for the church. We need to love the assembly. And again, a church is a called out body of believers. It's just not a body of believers when we're scattered all over Yates and Schuyler and Steuben counties. Listen, when we're called together, that's what a church is. An assemble. It's an assembly. So we assemble here again. That's the church. And we need to love the church. We need to love the assembly. I know you can worship just as well out on Seneca Lake pulling in trout. That's not true. You can't worship just as well out there. We can worship God anywhere. Yeah, but there's only one place where God requires that we assemble together with other believers. Here we are. And so again, I'll just mention this in passing. It's my privilege to pastor Good Samaritan Baptist Church because there's just a love for the church here. A love for one another. A love for this the members of Good Samaritan Baptist Church and the gathering of believers. Don't lose that first love. Hold on to that. And again, remember that. The lastly, I'll not even hardly mention except for the fact that there's also a love for giving. A love for giving. We're doing better financially at Good Samaritan Baptist Church than I've seen us do in years here, and just rejoicing. And so I will not preach long on this, but don't lose that love for giving. Giving over and above. You can scrape off and count to the nearest penny and tithe of your cumin and of your mint and say, okay, this is exactly how much I owe. And I owe, so off to church we go and we pay what we owe. But listen, I praise the Lord for being a church that gives offerings, that gives over and above. Sure, the tithe is important. That's the first 10% of our increase. We ought to give that to the Lord. It belongs to Him. But giving here again is something that we do over and above that. And let me go ahead and say that giving involves more than money. It's giving of time. It's giving of attention. It's giving of our prayer time. Giving, again, is things that we do because we have a generosity. One of the differences between charity and love, I know in the modernist Bibles there's no difference, but in God's Word, charity involves being charitable. It involves a selflessness. So again, when we give, again, I praise the Lord for the giving here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Don't lose that. Don't lose that first love. Remember when we first get saved, we see people again that just don't care about things of this world anymore. The most important thing is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and telling someone else about it. And so again, don't let the material things creep into our lives. We live in a materialistic society. Spurgeon said that Christianity can survive, yea, it can survive or thrive in all circumstances except for one. It can't survive prosperity. And once we are prosperous without God, Again, Christianity isn't what it ought to be. Beverly and I took a trip to Haiti back in the 1900s. 96. We came back from Haiti again, where people walked for 3 hours to get to church. And they didn't want to be preached to for an hour and then walk 3 hours home. They stayed in church for what? 8 hours they was in church. They asked me how long I should preach. I asked them how long I should preach for, and they said, I wouldn't go over an hour and a half. I said, man, I'd have to back 3 messages back to back to go for an hour here again. And so, boy, people that just love the Lord. And one of the things we came back to America, just disgusted with America. And one of the hardest parts of coming back from a mission field is, again, to see the apathy. And see how people don't care and have no use of the gospel. And coming from a place where they're just hungry for the gospel. And are eager again to worship. And just seeing their faith when we was in Haiti for 10 days. Boy, that moved our heart. And we came back, I was pastoring that time down at New Hope Baptist Church, and I'd come back just disgusted with Yates County. I'd have laughed in a heartbeat. I'd have gone right back to Haiti and taught in the Bible Institute and preached on the streets of Corfu. But God's called me here. It's good to be burdened for other people, but God's given me a calling, and here I am. So again, understand that boy, again, when we are talking about our first love, let's again just remember the important things of life. Look at verse 5 of Ephesians, or Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, to me, is scary. It's so scary I wasn't even going to preach it, but let me bring it up anyway. 3 things here: to remember, to repent, or be removed. To remember, to repent, or be removed. It says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. And repent. And do the first works. We're not saved by works. But boy, we better have some works. And do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. When I was in the military, I was told over and over again to build a 2-year plan, a 5-year plan, and a 10-year plan. I still did that after I got out, although everything changed again, and I was not so much in charge of my goals and accomplishments as God was in charge of them. But I still like to look down the road 2 years. I like to look down the road 5 years, and I like to look down the road 10 years. I don't know if you've done that, but at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, if you look down the road 10 years, listen, I praise the Lord that I got a church right here, and I can go out and I can work the streets of Geneva. I can go down and work the streets of Watkins. I can go door to door, pound every door. And Penn Yan is my intent this year, pound every door in Dundee. I praise the Lord that there's a church body here that understands what the pastor's out doing. And even some of them will pitch in and help a little bit. But listen, I praise the Lord for this church that I could be here and be a witness. Now, I said the word feckless before, and I feel like that's what I've been here. In Yates County. I've been here since 95. We prayed, God, throw me into that briar patch, is what Beverly and I prayed way back in 1995. And here we are, and been laboring in Yates County for almost 25 years now. I prayed then, God, if you give me 30 years, I'll be a happy guy. And none of the righteous ever lived in their 70s, so I thought 30 years was better than a safe bet. And listen, God, I have to extend my life a little bit. But here, we're pressing on here. We're heading up to 25 years this next year. Good Samaritan Baptist Church is what, 27 years this year? And Got an anniversary coming up for 30 years, been here for 30 years, preaching the gospel. And listen, I appreciate that. I appreciate, again, the stand that this church has taken. There's a lot of things in this chapter here about what this church has done. Look at it real quickly. I know thy works, it says in verse 2, that thou hast thy labor, thy patience. Thou canst not bear them that are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. They are not, and hast found them liars. There's got a section down here about the Nicolaitans, verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The Laitans, again, are laity. If you ever heard of the church called the clergy and the laity, that's the Nicolaitans there. They had divided the church into clergy and laity. And listen, God hates that. And so we're not laity. All of us are saints in God's service. So there's not a clergy that got all the education to know everything. I'm just a dirt farmer from Addison, New York.
Amen.
But praise the Lord. Listen, we've discerned some of those things here. We've called out apostate churches. We've pointed to them and say, hey, that's not right. I've again dwelled on the fact that there's not a which denomination, 147 denominations, which one's right? None of them. There's no denomination. A denomination is someone who controls all these other churches, and so they have in their purview all these churches, and they all answer to one big head church. We're not denominational, never have been, and so there's no denomination that's right. Ever since the Roman church first said, hey, you are under our control and our auspices, and you will answer to us for what you believe. Listen, there's a bunch of independents that broke out of that. They've been called heretics ever since, but by the Roman church. But again, understand that there's no denomination that's right. The whole kit and caboodle has gone apostate. And you watch them now trying to be inclusive, trying to put homosexuals in their pulpits and everything else that's going on in the church of America. It is apostate. So we've done those things as best we can. Just call them out, call them what they were, and painted them the color that God wanted them painted here. But again, understand this. This church has taken a stand on those things. We've taken a stand on rock music. We've taken a stand on the Word of God. We've taken a stand on things that are holy and to be kept holy. And listen, I appreciate that more than you know. But again, to understand that again and to say, hey, what's our plan for the next 10 years? I look around and I see more gray heads than not. And I don't know what your plans are for the next 10 years. I was just thinking this year that 2019, you know, if this church folds, we're incorporated. I don't know if you know what that means, but that means that if someone sues this church, they can't come and take your paycheck. I think it's wise to be incorporated. There are a lot of people that preach against it. But listen, the good members of Good Samaritan Baptist Church are incorporated so that if someone sues us for $3 million and wins, they can't come and take your money. Okay, they can't touch you. But listen, if this church dissolves and sells all of its resources, we got $10,000 in the bank. I got people that want to buy this building right now and turn it into an apartment complex and make a bunch of money. Tony's mentioned he'll offer, give an offer on the church to do that. It's right next door to him. He likes that idea. So if we were to dissolve the church and have $10,000 cash and $10,000 we sell our building for, that's $20,000. We don't just divide that up and go our way. What would you do? Yeah, we go to church. Hallelujah. Listen, you divide it up among your missions. Our missions, again, we got 15 missionaries. And so the plans are, again, that you just divide that up against the missions of our corporation. And again, we don't gain anything from that. But, boy, I sure would hate to see that happen to Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I sure hate to see after 30 years of being a testimony here in Dresden that all of a sudden the little church house across the street from the Atheist Museum folds up and sells its building and distributes its monies to 20 missionaries. But I don't know what God has planned for this church. I do know this. that while I'm here and while I can draw breath, we're going to put about and do our very best to preach the gospel to every creature. Keep the main thing the main thing. Yeah, we got comfortable seats coming and we'll sit comfortable, but boy, I don't want that we sit comfortably here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I want that we be about the Father's business. So I just thought, again, bring a reminder here of this church that had taken the stand and had made the difference and had, dwindled in size maybe and had some problems, but their biggest problem was this. They left their first love. Boy, never leave your first love. Remember what saved you from hell. Remember again that we are His witnesses. Father, praise You and thank You for the things that we can look at here from Your charge to the church of Ephesus. Lord, this ain't the church of Dresden, but it's a church in Dresden. And so I pray again that You just help us to take this charge to heart. Father, to remember our first love, to be about our Father's business. We give You all the praise for tugging on our heart anew and afresh. And Father, when we look down the road 2 years, I don't know who's going to be preaching in this pulpit. We look down the road 5 years. I suppose some Rices have lived that long, and I don't know again if I will. I look down the road 10 years, and Father, I just don't know what Dresden's going to be like. But I know it's going to need a witness. And Father, we just ask again that You'd renew here growth. That Father, in this year, 2019, that we're stepping into, that we could see lives changed and added to this church so that could have a future. And Lord, we'll praise You if You'd use us in that regard. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I don't know the number, but it should be in our new books. All to Jesus I Surrender. 308 used to work. Let's stand and sing. What is it? 496 in our brand spanking new hymnals. Praise the Lord. Let's pray this. Let's sing this. Let's have a surrender. Let's remember our first love. And let's have a heart of surrender. 496. All to Jesus.